This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. Today, we're talking about manifesting the power of God. So usually, believers want to see the power of God made manifest. We expect to go to a Christian meeting, a church meeting, to a fellowship meeting, and we expect to see the power of God move. Oftentimes, when we go to such a fellowship and we don't see the power of God move, we come back home dejected, unhappy, sometimes unfulfilled. We feel as if God has not heard our prayers, or that this power of God is not present. We feel something is missing. So sometimes we blame the pastor. We say, oh, that man has become carnal. When I used to go to his meeting before, Holy Spirit used to speak. Now, it's all about him. Holy Spirit does not speak anymore. We go to a concert, like the concert we were listening to earlier. If you are at the concert, you remember how the power of God moves so mightily that even when we have closed the concerts, we were going home. The power of God was arresting people in the car park. They brought a lady back to me from the car park. She was screaming. She was prophesying from the car park. They brought her back into the hall on the day we recorded Ascension. The evidence of the manifestation of the power of God is the trigger that comes upon the Holy Ghost inside of us. When you go to a meeting, inside of you, you know when the power of God is moving and when it's not. It is not by watching people. The power of God moves inside of you. You feel it. You feel it. You can feel it. You can sense it. You know where God is and where God is not. And you are drawn to his presence because it is in the manifest power of God that the room for expressions of the Spirit are made open unto us. When Moses saw the burning bush, the power of God made manifest in a plant. When Moses saw the burning bush, Moses said, I turn aside. I have to see this thing. What is this strange sight? The manifest power of God is attractive. It draws people. If you have a shop, you have a business, you have a ministry, you have a mall or a place where you can do your secular work, and you have the manifest power of God, and you get there in the morning and you just sit down. This is something I have done over and over again. I will just go to like a 5-star hotel where I don't know anybody. I will sit at their reception and cross my legs. I'll be wearing my very good designer, everything that will make me look, that will make me fit into that environment. I will just sit down. I'll take my phone. I'll just be checking my phone. Sometimes I'll be writing. And people by themselves, I'm not kidding you, somebody will just come. Hi, good morning. Hi, hello. I say, oh, hi. Can I have a word with you? I say, oh, please sit down. Then I'll drop my phone and I'll look at the person. And the person will suddenly begin to tremble. The power of God, they have turned around. They have turned aside to see the sight. By themselves, they come. As I was walking by, I just felt a nudging. I just felt a nudging in my spirit to come and talk to you. This is my problem. And then I'll tell them, oh, let me pray with you. Let me do this. I'm not kidding you. See, when I tell people that I do evangelism effortlessly, that I do not need to share tracts on the street of London, in the street of Paris, anywhere in the train, in the plane. When I turn on the manifest power, the manifest presence, everybody around me begins to catch the vibes naturally. Why? Because if you see a burning bush that is not consumed, you must turn around to see, to investigate what you are seeing. It is a must. It is a must. You would pay attention. Your whole spirit will feel the vibe. You will draw away from where you are going. You will be drawn to it. So it is true that we want the manifest presence. It is true that we go to churches to witness the manifest presence. And when we go to churches and all they are doing is killing enemy and talking about rubbish, we feel somehow we leave the church unfulfilled. But it is better to build up ourselves to become the manifest presence, to be able to turn it on at will. To be able to turn it on at will, you must build yourself. Enough of running about chasing men of God. It is time for people to start chasing you. It is not hard. And you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a prophet. In your field of endeavor, people must begin to chase you. People must know that when they play your music, that the atmosphere around them changes supernaturally. They don't have to force it. They don't have to clap or sing it 10 times. As soon as they hear the sound and the sound of your voice, there is a quickening in the spirit. There is a quickening. All the cells of the body, all the cells of their body, they begin to dance. Let me say that again. You know, when the voice of Jesus, I remember the first time I saw Jesus walk into a room. Somebody was describing it yesterday night. It wasn't my room. I saw Jesus walking into a room. He went to meet a minister of the gospel, and I was just privileged to watch it as if I was watching it on TV, and it was a vision. And the walls were singing. Walls. They were singing almost 3 or 4 minutes before the herald angels began to descend and before the Lord Jesus came. The walls came alive. The floor came alive. Everywhere was shifting, shifting. And there was music, music like I've never heard before. And I was like, my God, how would this minister have felt? Because I was watching it like I was watching on a TV. And I couldn't contain myself. It was as if all the cells in my body were fighting to burst out of my skin. My head was doing grr, grr. When I say grr, grr, I didn't mean ringing like telephone. The vibes, the vibration, the heat. I was feeling as if my head was surrounded. I was wearing a crown and the crown was heated up. I was feeling the zing, 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 zing. All this thing I'm saying is because there is no English, but I just get it. You can feel it as if all the veins in your body, as if they could recognize the presence of their Lord. And they were as if you are carrying a baby, and the baby sees the mother or sees the father, and the baby wants to come down to run to his father. You know the way the baby will struggle, the way the baby will struggle. The baby wants to come down because the baby has seen a familiar sight. Baby wants to go and hug daddy, hug mommy, and you are carrying baby, and baby will be like, drop me, drop me, drop me. That was how my cells, my skin was feeling, as if I was going to be torn into pieces because the Lord Jesus entered the room. And as I watched that minister of the gospel, he was sitting down, and the Lord Jesus came into his room, and he fell flat on his face. And he was trembling on the floor. And as I watched him, I also fell flat on my face, and I was trembling on the floor. And even though I had fallen flat on my face, and I was laid down prostrate before him, I was still seeing him. It was as if the screen has entered into my head. I was still seeing him in his full glory, the manifest presence of God. There is nothing that serves you as a believer than that. There's nothing. People from all over the world send me messages every day, from all nationality, colors, and creed. For some, I will first forward their message to somebody that will translate for me, because they will send me the message in Mandarin. They will send it to me in Indian tongue. They will write and send. And then I know that this message is important. I know the person needed help. The person could write in English. The person will write in their language. Then I have this group of people that are also born again, that I led to Jesus some years back, maybe 2 or 3 years back, who I also minister to. And most of them are from Pakistan, India, and other places. And then I'll forward the messages to them. Then they help me interpret or translate. Then I reply to them. Then, and why do these people do that? The presence, the manifest presence of God. And that manifest presence is your right. When all of us gather, as we sit in our convention or any of our meetings, either in Lagos or anywhere else, or anywhere we do our gathering, when you see us there, you will see how the atmosphere always was. You cannot describe our atmosphere. You can't. Have tried. I've not seen it anywhere else. So I've seen one man of God come into a place and the place is charged up. I've seen that before. I have seen people who really like to see their pastor. So when their pastor, when he comes in, people jump up and they begin to scream. Because they've come to associate him with the presence of God. But in our meetings, it's different. You'll be in a church, in an auditorium, where all the people on the altar are carriers of the presence. All, not one, all. And then the people in the congregation, most of them also carry the presence. All of us now bring that presence together. We now create an atmosphere that I cannot describe. An atmosphere where angels sit, where angels stand, where angels move. An atmosphere where it was as if we are suspended in between the earth and the heavens. That manifest presence. You cannot have that kind of presence and not command and not boss your immediate surroundings or environment. You can't. You just notice that all things will bend their will to you. All things will bend their will to you in that atmosphere. And that kind of atmosphere, you can only generate and sustain it by ensuring that the consciousness of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit are channeled through you freely. That means you cannot have worry in that atmosphere. That means you cannot have life issues, light refreshments of life. You cannot have them. That means you are just fully charged up, brilliant, strengthened to show forth the glory of God. You must desire this manifest presence. was designed. Not only does it heal your body, sometimes it would assure you of what the future holds by showing you the future. It was in that atmosphere that Moses saw that at the age of 80, at the age of 80, that he had a journey ahead of him. That journey included him traveling to Egypt, delivering the children of Israel, bringing them out of Egypt, and bringing them back to that same mountain of the manifest presence, the mountain where he first saw God. He was to bring everybody back to this same mountain. So he knew that he wasn't going to die young. You see, he knew that he wasn't going to die at 80, that he would fulfill that promise. It was in that manifest presence. He saw his future. Once the Lord shows you your future, you already know that, okay, the Lord, this is what the Lord is saying. So when people are saying, Father, I will not die any death, but you will just be saying, okay, glory be to God. They say, ah, you are not concerned about that. I say, no, for the Lord has shown me the things that lay ahead of me. So I'm assured that until I fulfill that chapter, I'm not going anywhere. You already know that. When others are struggling, oh, I want God to give me a baby. You will have seen in the manifest presence number of children. I remember, man, two instances that I can quickly share. A man of God, a doctor, somewhere in Osun State, Nigeria. He went there to do NYSC, and then the Lord told him, the Lord said he should stay there and start a fellowship or a church. So he started the fellowship. He began to do animal husbandry. He began to treat people in that village. And of course, his whole family was against it. Oh no, what are you doing? This, that, you know. Come back to town, come to Lagos. He said, oh, I want to obey the Lord. And he stayed there. And 2 or 3 years later, they brought in another set of youth coppers, and a lady also came to the village, and the lady met him, and the lady said, I like what you are doing. I'm not going back home. And the lady stayed. They got married, the two of them. They became missionaries to that little community. And the lady got pregnant. And this man said he was praying, and he saw the child, that they had a set of twins, and that he carried the babies, and his wife was holding a balloon, and the balloon was showing that the twins were 4 years old. So God has shown him, you are going to have a set of twins, and they will still be alive. You'll be alive. All of you are going to celebrate their fourth birthday. God has shown him in that manifest presence. He has seen this future. And so when this lady was 8 months old and she was in labor, he was trying to rush her to the hospital because they were far from Oshobo, the capital. So when she began to get her contractions, he said, oh, the babies are coming in early. Okay, let's go to the hospital. He got the lady into the car, and the lady stopped breathing. The wife died. And at 2 a.m. Saturday night to Sunday morning, this man called me. This man said, Paragbenga, I've been reading your stories. I don't know any other person to call because people don't understand me. I came from a Baptist background. If I call my Baptist pastor, they don't understand what I'm going to say, but you should understand. I said, what is the issue? He said, God showed me myself, my wife, and our twins. I was holding the twins. I was holding the twins in my two hands, and my wife was holding the balloon, showing that the twins are four with a cake in front of us, their birthday. And now my wife is dead. I said, what did you say? My wife is dead. I was taking her to the hospital. She stopped breathing. I'm a doctor. I've checked her pulse. I've checked everything. She's dead. My God, she's dead. How can she die? And I said, oh, no. Don't say that again. What do you normally do at this time? And this was around, we have spoken for like an hour plus. This was around 3:34. He said when he wakes up in the morning, he will do prayer, he will pray around the compound, then he'll go and check all his animals, the chicken, the goats, the sheep, and then he'll come back inside, shower, and then himself and his wife will go to church. I said, all right, stop lamenting, stop complaining. Just dress up and go and do what you do normally. Ignore death. Ignore this thing that is trying to write itself into your story. For God has shown you your future, and this thing is trying to rewrite it. Do not confess that you agree with what is writing. Ignore death, ignore the devil. Do what you normally do, as if it is only the voice of God that you have heard. For God told Moses that he should go to Egypt and bring the children of Israel. But Pharaoh was trying to rewrite the story. Pharaoh was saying, no, no, no. And Moses kept ignoring Pharaoh, ramping up the pressure until Pharaoh caved. Do not listen to the voice that is saying anything other than the voice of God. And he got up, he went out. By the time he came back into the house, his wife was awake, alive, and well. This brother almost went mad. He said, "But Abinga, my wife is alive. She's sitting up. She's not even sick." I said, "Don't." I said, "This is the norm. You are shouting now as if Abinga has done something special." I said, I just only showed you that if God has shown you the reality of his manifest presence and he needs to see your future, nothing should be able to rewrite what God has said about you. This is the confidence that we have that we carry his presence, that we show forth his power, and that he can tell us what our tomorrow holds. And once he has spoken, no other entity can speak. But in order to walk in this reality, you have to carry, to become, to manifest this presence. You have to program yourself. I don't want to be going to pastor to pray for me. I don't think that when you are a baby Christian, that may be fine. But as soon as you receive the power of the Holy Spirit and you begin to fellowship and you begin to practice the presence of God, God's ultimate desire is to speak to you himself, to speak to you himself, for you to be reconciled to him in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, that you may have a relationship, not a relationship through an intermediary, not a relationship through a pastor, a prophet, or a priest, that you may become a prophet, a priest, and a king unto your God. That is the essence of you getting the connection between God and yourself, which is the Holy Spirit. And so if you are full of the Holy Spirit, you must manifest this presence. Don't allow the Holy Spirit in you to be docile. Don't allow the Holy Spirit in you to lack the ability to see the future, to envision, or to project. Allow the Holy Spirit in you to have full expression. Allow Him. You sit at your desk in the office, everybody knows that the atmosphere around you is different. They just know it. They say, every time I'm around Abinga, I'm quickened. You know, people do that to me. People come, either white or black or yellow. They come, they want to sit beside me. They say, "Can I sit beside you?" And I'll be quiet. I'll not say anything. I may be busy. They'll just sit beside me. And after a few minutes, I remember I shared that testimony of that girl that had mental issue. Very beautiful girl. Her name is Lola. Very beautiful young lady. And she would come to my office in Magodo, and she would come and sit down in my office to the point where people in the office, and I was a PA to a pastor, but the office is full of pastors. The pastors would come in and be like, "Abinga, what is this girl doing?" I said, "I don't know. She was marketing. She was marketing for all these land people that are selling land, real estate people." So she will come to hacking on to me on Wednesdays, and she will try and market to those who come for the program because a lot of rich people are in the area. And then one day she came to my office and she just sat. She just sat. Just sat. And she sat for almost 3 hours. And I was there, I was typing on my computer. I had work to do. And I couldn't chase her. I didn't even want to. So I just left her. And then every other week she will come back like that and sit. Sometimes she will come twice. I remember a Saturday, I was going for a wedding. Official wedding. My boss was joining the couple, and I had to be there because I was a SP. And I saw her at the gate of the office. When I was about to go, she jumped in my car. I said, "Okay, what are you doing?" She said, "Oh, I'm a medical doctor by profession. When I was in third level in uni law, I developed a mental problem. They've taken me to all these churches. I attend Ekwa naturally. The person I'm supposed to marry is from Ekwa. Both of us, he's also a doctor. He's no longer with me now because of the challenges I'm facing in my life." So from the moment I saw you, the voice in my head that was always talking to me, the voice went silent. When I sit with you, that voice, I stopped hearing it. So that's why I will sit. And then I will sit and then I will go. But after a few days, the voice will come back. So when the voice comes back, I just come to the office. I just come and sit. Hey, I kid you not. She didn't even know that I was ministering to people at the time. One day she was in my office when people came, and then I went downstairs to minister to them. And she acted as usher. So one lady was having issues, she came and I said, "Oh, I want to pray for this lady. No, Lord, can you please come and stand behind the lady so I can pray for the lady?" As soon as I laid hands on this lady, that the power of the Holy Spirit carried this lady like this, Lolo herself began to scream. I just stood there, and that was how that spirit of madness was taken out of her. What am I saying? This is the atmosphere that is supposed to be around you as a believer. This is the atmosphere that is supposed to be your natural environment. An atmosphere where the lost will find solace, where the troubled will find peace, where the confused will find clarity. This is you. We've been doing a month-long prayer. We've done convention. We've done word and tongue conference. This is the last day. Remember my words. Direct this light. Direct it today. Directed, they be determined that today my atmosphere is changing. I begin to manifest around me this halo that people can touch and virtue will be released. I am no longer the one trying to touch the Savior's garment. I am now the one that people would touch his garment and be made whole. This is your consciousness now. This is your synesis. This is your epignosis. This is your understanding. This is you manifesting the presence of God. I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that the light in you will so shine. It will change everything. It will draw the right people into your circle. It will take you to the right places. It will make you stand, sit before kings with kings, and it will bring you into the fullness of God's abilities in you. I declare it is well with you. I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would experience what it means to have Christ in you, the manifestation of his glory. Thank you, Father, for this is your word. And it is expressed to your people. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, Glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry. ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content.